I lost my virginity at 21 very deliberately because I had very deliberately not lost it before then. And the reason was because I loved Jesus. And I thought purity culture was the truth. But at 21, after several realizations and still loving Jesus and still being a Christian, I realized I was putting way too much emphasis on how God felt about my sex life. And I was pretty sure we had gotten God's opinion on sex wrong. So at 21, there was a coworker who was really into me at this telefund I was working for. He was a nice guy who I didn't have a lot of connection to, which I thought was perfect. And I said, okay, let's do this. And I went on a date with him and I had sex with him. And I knew the shame was coming. I woke up the next morning. I got on a bus. He was very confused as to why I was leaving so soon. On that bus ride home, I felt immense shame. And I closed my eyes and I remember thinking, this is really good. I have trained myself my whole life to believe that this is the worst thing I could do. And I'm gonna feel uncomfortable and shameful about it first. But I really believe that sex is an incredible, beautiful, fun, necessary, integral part of being human. And I refuse to live my life hiding from it and acting like it's not part of me, like it's this evil, external, demonic force trying to take over my body. I refuse to believe that being a sexual being, which as a mammal, as a human, I am, I refuse to believe that that's not God-given. And yes, I had done a lot of research on it, and I recognized that there were an equal number of biblical scholars who were like, Song of Solomon is actually a relationship that's outside of marriage. And a lot of these verses that are condemning sex not within a marriage are actually condemning sex with prostitutes and slaves and enslaved men. And I saw that, right? I saw that stuff and I started to go, and that's where I started to go, wait, maybe the version that I have believed fundamentally, undeniably true because there is one objective moral work of art that we must all follow and that's the truth, and what a relief to have that certainty. When that certainty started to get really shaken because it was literally not certain, so many people and experts on the Bible, pastors, etc., had differing opinions. I was like, wait, the definition of objective truth is that you read it, you see it, it's true. Sky is blue. 2 + 2 = 4. That's not the case here. That means I have to start trusting myself. I have to start reading between the lines here and seeing what's true here. And that was really scary, but it was also the appeal of Christianity to me was always, even as, and I grew up very Christian, really believing and being an evangelical and fundamentalist. And I vibed with the freedom. It was the freedom of Christ, the freedom from our sinful nature. And if you saw my other video, you'll know that I don't believe humans are sinful by nature or good by nature. I think we're way more complicated than that. And I think that's beautiful. That was my other video, so I won't go farther into that. back to sex. So, so I'd also grown up in this culture where as a woman, I was like, all right, well, the most impressive, best thing to be is sexy, but not sexual. Beautiful, but unattainable. I never wanted to be called easy or a slut or a tease or a flirt or a prude. I wanted to tell dirty jokes but never have sex. It was this balance that I was playing. And the problem that I have with rants about being a woman or being a man, being in anything in the culture, is that it is a lot about how other people perceive you. And all that is an issue. And I think it should be addressed. However, that was my entire concern all through almost my whole 20s even. But 21, the sex, having sex, choosing to have sex, feeling the shame around it, congratulating myself for the shame, being like, yeah, you're going to feel shameful. You taught yourself to shame this, to be ashamed of this, to never talk about this, that this was bad and this was dirty. And although now you do not believe that, you're going to have to prove it to your body. Your body doesn't know that. Our beliefs and our therapy and all this stuff that we learn about ourselves, that it becomes physical wiring. It has to be physically changed. I remember thinking that, like, okay, we gotta do the work. We gotta put the work in. I'm still getting over my cold. Ugh. So, back to sex. This released the shame around so many things. I hate this because a lot of people have shame around having sex too late, too early, too old, too young, too fat, too thin. We're shamed around our sexual identity, around our bodies, around the sexual behaviors that we have. There's so much shame around sex. It's this shrouded in darkness and judgment thing. And I am working so hard in myself and in my life and with my practice to remove that shame. We're all on a journey here, you know, and it's beautiful. I grew up believing that if my mantra was, I'm happy if you're happy, and I really meant that, that was the epitome of being a good human. And that's empathy without boundaries, which is self-destruction. But it leads to, it leads to us becoming adults who, as Emily Dickinson puts it beautifully, are out with lanterns looking for ourselves. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we want. We can't accept love because we've been so focused on giving it that when somebody tries to give it back to us, we're offended because that's our role. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's so ironic because we're doing it to get love. But if we get love, that means we can't give love. And if we can't give love, we can't get love. The whole thing. So in sex, that's the way it was too. And I feel like I still have quite a ways to go on this journey of sex. But here are some things I learned. One, for me and for many women I've spoken to, sex is the place that our bodies will not let us abandon them. Meaning, sexual intimacy only feels good and feels exciting if emotional intimacy happens first. If I feel seen and accepted by you. Esther Perel explains that women's sexuality is selfish, that our role in society is often selfless. And in sexuality, we have to feel desired and sexy and connected and emotionally seen. We have to feel hot and amazing. That is a bit of an oversimplification, but because it's also such a turn on to make the other person, to see the other person feeling so into it is the best. However, and there's another, I forgot his name now, but there's another therapist who did a lot of couples therapy, and he basically was like, the man kept complaining about having enough sex, and the woman was complaining about him not listening, and he goes, you guys have the same problem. Dude, you're going to have way more sex as soon as you learn how to listen really well to her, hold space for her, hear her, see her, understand her, emotionally support her. Don't give her advice, just support her. And I've seen that to be true in my life. When my man and I feel incredibly connected and I feel really seen, and when he feels really seen. So that's why I'm like, I don't think it's just women, but when we feel really seen, it's like an extension of that intimacy in the most beautiful way. And that's where I start to go, if there's a God, he's involved. Or it is involved in this. There is something cosmic. The thing that makes me the saddest about the way that many churches approach sex is that they encourage so much shame around it, and anything that has shame has great potential to become compulsive and addictive. If you feel a lot of shame and you're trying to process through, feelings are not facts. They're indicators. And they're not always indicators of things that we think they are. So feeling shameful was an indication of the way I had trained my brain to believe. It was not because I deserved to be ashamed. And I hope that if you are in a really confusing mess of not knowing if you're on the right path or not, and the reason for that is that you're making decisions and taking actions now in accordance with beliefs that are new, and you've got some shame, I hope that you don't think that the shame is evidence that you're doing the wrong thing. It's evidence that you're moving out of comfort and into discomfort. It's evidence that you have chosen to let go of an identity that defined you for so long. And that is brave, and that is beautiful, and that is scary, which is why it's brave. We are all out with lanterns looking for ourselves at different times in our lives. And if that's you right now, you might not feel proud of you right now, but I am. I better stop talking. My voice is deflating as I stand here. I hope you love your day. I hope you love you. Good Morgan.